Welcome to Our House, the only complete on-air resource for your home ownership needs. Now, here's the host of Our House, Peter Hunt.
Good morning and welcome to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the all-new HuntRealEstate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and home ownership experience. The show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage, which is the home of the pre-purchase commitment, the first of program of its kind, where you can actually, at no risk or cost, effectively enter the market to purchase your next home with cash. And in today's very competitive real estate market, it's important that you do that, because the fact of life is that there is an inventory shortage in the entire country today of existing homes in the, I guess you'd call it, the sweet spot in the marketplace, which is the most popular price range in the marketplace, which tends to be the mid-range. And in that price range, there is a very much a shortage today. And oftentimes, when there's multiple offers, someone will have the contract will appear with cash on it. You can compete with that with a pre-purchase commitment available only through Hunt Mortgage. Call them today, 633-3700, and expect what we promise, which is personalized, customized, knock-your-socks-off service. We call our people mortgage consultants because that's what they are. They consult with you and help you work through the process of understanding the whole mortgage experience and how to make it as pleasant as it possibly can be. And don't forget about the first ever 24/7 365 real estate hotline, the Hunt Hotline, which gives you access to all available information about any property listed for sale in Buffalo, Niagara, Rochester, Syracuse, Albany, Utica, Watertown, and even Phoenix, Arizona. Simply dial 716-631-4800. That's the local number in Western New York. We have a local number in each market. And all you have to do is enter the street number of the house you want to know about, no matter whose listing it is. The hotline will then prompt you with the choice of street names. Select the one you want. You'll hear a brief description, and then you'll be texted a link to a dedicated website on that particular property, all automatically and just that fast, anytime in any market we serve on any listing, whether it's ours or any other broker's. With the spring market, as I mentioned, we do have a shortage of inventory, and it's a very hot market, literally. Today, being a very warm day, please hopefully stay inside where it's air conditioned. If you do go outside, make sure you're protected. And by all means, take care of your little kids and your pets. But if you are interested in the market, there's many open houses that we're having this weekend. I encourage you to stop out today and ask one of our agents about the best opportunity you have in the marketplace today. If you're considering selling a home and buying another, it's called the Seller Security Plan. Pardon me, it's available only through a Hunt Real Estate ERA agent. Very simply, we will sell your home or ERA will buy it. You may have heard about the iBuyer programs that are out there someplace where you can, actually lots of places where you can sell your home for cash. It's always at a discount. It's always, always at a discount. And if you want to make sure that you achieve market value, it can only happen through the Seller Security Plan. Hunt is the official real estate and relocation provider of our hometown professional teams, the Buffalo Bills, Buffalo Sabres, and Rochester Americans. And we are broadcast live here on WBEN 930 AM. If you'd like to participate in today's show, you can reach us here in the studio at 803-0930 or 1-800-616-9236 if you're long distance, and star 930 if you're mobile. Those are all free calls. So join us on the show today. And if you want to text us, it's 30930. And that you can, tell me whatever you want to tell me and ask me whatever you like, and we'll see what we can do to help. We have a very special show for you today. We're going to be dealing with the market as it is today. And there's two kind of very fundamental things that I want to share with you, with our guests today, who are both remote calling in. One is the president of Hunt Mortgage, Linda Malaya. And if you've been following the financial markets these days, what you're seeing is a lot of action in the bond market, which is affecting interest rates. And the predictor is that interest rates will continue actually to come down a little bit. And to get a full-fledged understanding of that, the president of Hunt Mortgage, I indicated, Linda Malaya, is on the air with us. Linda, are you there?
Yep, I'm here, Peter. Good morning. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. And thank you for calling in so promptly today. I want to ask you what you're seeing, though, in the bond market, and what you see in terms of the trends in interest rates for mortgages these days.
Yeah. Well, I've been posting. I have a LinkedIn page that I try to post about interest rates so that our customers and our agents are familiar with the trends and what's happening. And I posted an article that said, you know, it's like a roller coaster. And I said, everybody needs to get their neck braces out because the market has been whipping around quite a bit in terms of interest rates. They are low, then they jump up a little bit, then they go back down low. I mean, the bottom line is just what you said, that the predictor is they're going to continue to drift downward. And we'll see if that happens. I mean, I still don't know about the fact that we've got an election year coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Always plays a little bit of havoc with interest rates. And I think as the polls potentially whip around, I'm not saying they are, I don't know a thing about political polling, but should they whip around, I think you're going to see interest rates following that.
You mean that the pressure will be on the existing administration to pressure the Federal Reserve, for example, to push rates down further, which would then obviously cause a little bit of a boost in the economy overall? Is that what you're referring to? So that he looks,
yeah.
Our current administration looks better for reelection? Is that kind of where you're going with that?
Well, that and the fact that should he say something completely crazy, which I know never happens.
No, couldn't possibly happen.
And the other side looks like they may win and there could be a change in administration. I think that'll cause some gyrations, too. I mean, Wall Street, love or hate the current administration, Wall Street seems to love.
Mm-hmm.
And the economy seems to love. But if there's a change, an unexpected change, you know, that tends to send Wall Street into a bit of a tailspin and a flight to safety. Flight to safety often reflects in bonds. So,
mm-hmm.
No, maybe all signs ultimately point to downward. I hope. That would be nice. Makes my life easier.
Let me ask you about, just to follow up on what you just said. Recently, I heard a discussion led by the chief economist of a local bank, actually a national bank. And in that discussion, a question was asked at the end. They painted a very rosy picture of the economy from all employment levels, interest rates, earnings reports from companies, the direction of the equities markets, even the bond market. They said everything really is quite positive right now. And so someone in the audience asked, well, what could derail all this? And, you know, the answer was basically what you said, you know, some kind of radical change in leadership. And if that happens and there's a pressure on the wheels of industry in any way, shape, or form, that the economy could go through a real problem. And in that case, let's play that out for a second. Do you see that as would you agree with that economist that if there was a significant change in Washington, that there would be a possibility of real trouble in the economy and thus obviously would affect interest rates?
I'm never going to disagree with a professional economist. I would never hold myself up to that level. But I do agree because of this, Peter. It's not just a choice, I think, between, you know, Democrat, Republican. This
mm-hmm.
is real, as we're seeing, a real shift. This is a real right of right and a real left of left.
Mm-hmm.
And the proposals that the top Democrats are putting out right now, Medicare for all, et cetera, those are very expensive government entitlements.
Mm-hmm.
Never go away. That is going to fundamentally shift this economy. Now, if you are left of left, you may believe that that shift is necessary. You may believe that that shift is, you know, good for the country. I'm not ever going to argue politics publicly. But if you're asking me strictly from a market standpoint, strictly from a bond market standpoint, oh, I do believe that if the polls show that the Democrats are in the lead, I think you're going to see some fear there. But
like,
it leads to short-term interest, mm-hmm. interest rates going down.
Well, the polls do show that right now, which is kind of interesting. So we'll comment on that, I guess, more as time progresses towards the election. But let's leave that alone for a second here and just go back to the factors that you're seeing in terms of the interest rates. And what do you see from a consumer standpoint? And I've got one of our leading sales professionals online also, which I'm going to connect in just a second so we can have a three-party conversation here. But do you see customers sensitive to this? Are they Are they rushing to do something while rates are low? Do they perceive this as a kind of a moment in time, or do they see this as a trend that's going to go on for a while? How do you sense the public out there?
Yeah. And, you know, let me just, before I do that, let me just comment on the poll situation. I agree with you that the polls definitely show, they say a no-name Democrat is in the lead, but there are very many of the talking heads saying, but the last time, it, that's what the polls said. And so there's a lot of disbelief in those polls. I think if those polls come out and they begin to be believed, that's when I think you're going to see the shift. But anyway, we'll leave that subject. Customers. You know, Peter, surprisingly to me, I don't see a great deal of interest. I mean, of course people are interested in what their payments are going to be. Of course they want a competitive interest rate. They don't want to pay too much, et cetera. But it's very ho-hum to me from what I'm seeing. And I think that's because interest rates have been low so long.
Mm-hmm.
We have a generation of buyers that go, you know, when rates briefly touched something that sounded like a five, they were like, what?
Yeah, I know. It was a bit of a panic. We have Todd Eichinger, one of our leading sales professionals, also on the line. He happens to be traveling right now. Todd, are you with us?
I am.
Todd, I would ask you the same question. Your experience in the market is pretty extensive. Do you find buyers are are interest rate sensitive right now or any time really? Do you sense, Linda Millay, the president of Hunt Mortgage, just said that when they started creeping up towards 5%, that buyers were so unused to that they kind of panicked a little bit. Do you see any interest rate sensitivity among your customers these days?
I think with the younger ones, there's a little bit more because now that I can say I'm getting older, you know, I thought I went in and robbed a bank when I walked out at 6.5% 12 years ago when I bought. So, you know, for us, it's a little different. But the younger folks, yes, I do see them paying attention to that.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I get questioned all the time, and I'm sure you do too, and you do as well, Linda, about the conditions in the market. And the general perception out there is that the market is very strong right now, the real estate market as a whole. Yet as you listen to the economists, they will tell you that the housing industry, the housing sector is the weakest of all the industrial sectors right now in the economy. And they cite a couple reasons. Number one, that we're not building enough new houses. There's just simply not enough new houses being built in this country. And I've given this statistic out before, but the high watermark for new housing starts in this country is about 2 million units. Healthy is, say, 1.7 to 2, to 2 million. We're at 1.2 million right now, both in housing starts and permits issued, which is the precursor to a housing start. Just about the same, little over $1.2 million. So that's one factor. Another factor is that because there's a lack of availability of existing home inventory, people tend to stay in their homes longer, which just makes the problem get worse. Do you find it, Todd and Linda, do you find that the customers, that's causing pressure on them to act or not act? Do people tend to say to you, Todd, for example, that we're just going to sit tight until the perfect house comes along? What do you hear out there? What are customers really saying?
I think it's just more that we're stuck on the lack of inventory, even for existing homes. New builds, it's always customer sensitive because some people don't want to get clobbered with the new build taxes because you end up at the higher end of the spectrum. And some people kind of get hung up on that. And I don't honestly think there is a perfect home. So I think everybody I've ever known that's built a new home after they've been in it for 6 months or a year or so are like, you know, I wish I would have done this differently. And mm-hmm. I try to point that out to people. If you buy an existing and you're going to remodel, either avenue you take, you're not going to end up with a perfect home. You're going to end up with a very good home, but not a perfect home.
And it's up to you to really make it perfect in your own mind, I guess. That's the thing.
Right.
Linda Millay, you built a new house. It was a while ago, but you built a new house. Did you go through what Todd just described? When you were built, after you finished the house and you and John moved in, did you say, well, gee, you know, I wish we'd done X, Y, and Z. And did that? Did you really want to buy a new home? Was that your direction?
Yeah, no. At the time, we did not want to buy a new home. We were facing a somewhat similar market at the time, not a lot of inventory on the market. Stumbled across the subdivision being put in with the help of our hunt agent, of course, who's now retired. And, right, we didn't get everything that we wanted. We thought we knew. We had never built a house before. So, you know, we've made 1,000 changes since then. And we've been in our house close to 30 years now. And we just keep changing it. So, mm-hmm. Oh, no.
So that would kind of verify what Todd Eichinger was just saying in terms of you get into a house, once you live in it, it's different than looking at it on a set of plans or even watching it as it's being built. But Todd, to your point earlier about the kind of the end result being an expensive, relatively expensive product that will have correspondingly slightly higher taxes, is that really a deterrent, do you think, to building a new house in Western New York today?
For some people, I have actually seen where it's kind of a major hang-up. West Seneca, for instance, Neil Garrity, my manager out of East Aurora, was thinking about buying a new build. And his taxes in that town were almost $4,000 a year higher than the one existing home he was looking at that was still newer, updated, and a great house. And he ended up canceling the new build and moving into an existing structure. So, you know, it can be pretty big. I mean, mm-hmm. $4,000 a year raise. So it would be something that I would consider when I was doing it.
You know, it's interesting, the issue of real property taxes we've talked about a lot on this show with our politicians and trying to understand what the factors are that influence property taxes, et cetera. And that's a topic unto itself, which I don't want to dig into. But I'm most interested really in customer sensitivity and what really drives their decision-making process. Do you find at all, either Linda or Todd, that people start in the process and then look at the overall cost, including taxes, and say, maybe I'll rent? Has this been a dialogue that you've engaged in at all? Have people backed away from the process because of the combination of costs? If, you know, interest rates obviously included in that.
I'm starting to see a little bit of a trickle, which actually is going to help us, where sellers are selling and then moving to a rental so they can take their time and make the best decision they can instead of making a hasty one and moving into a house that maybe they won't be happy with. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping that helps the little bit of a bottleneck / light inventory we're in expand and make it easier for us to get people in the houses.
You know, I think that's a very interesting observation, and it's a trend that has been predicted for some time that people would just, because of the inventory shortage, just either out of frustration or just take a wait and see attitude, but still make the decision. And this is something I think that's very important. Still make the decision to sell that house because it's no longer appropriate for them and their family. And I think that to me is a healthy decision. What, Linda? I mean, would you agree with that, or would you take a different opinion?
No, I mean, you and I have discussed, I'm one of those people raising my hand in the inappropriate house. Mm-hmm. And the problem is, where do you go? And the patio homes, the problem with them is the expense.
Right.
You know, I can't get for my house, I could not buy a patio home. And so that tug of, oh my God, I'm going to spend more money to go into something smaller. But I find, you know, I'm at an age where I can still handle this house. But
Linda, I'm going to cut you off there. We have to go to a break, and we'll come back to that thought. We'll be right back with more from Our House Tours after these important messages.
From the WBEN Newsroom, I'm Tom Puckett. Here's what's happening. The thunderstorms cooled things off temporarily yesterday. The heat is expected back today. A heat warning remains for Niagara and Orleans counties until 6 p.m. The rest of the region under an advisory until then. Heat indexes could hit triple digits. Take it easy if you're going to be outside today. A report has come out saying the Trump administration is proposing shutting down refugee admissions next year. Several organizations as well as refugees are speaking out against the proposal.
Two from the Congo and one from Burma about what it has been like for them to what it was like in the camps, what it was like in the Congo, and what it has been like for them here in America, and how they very much wish that their family members, all three of them have family members who are waiting to come, have the chance to come and join them. This is family separation, too.
Eva Hassett of the International Institute says refugees help improve the area's economy as employees and entrepreneurs. The death of a three-year-old boy in a Rochester restaurant's underground grease collection tank has prompted two state lawmakers to draft new safety legislation. Police say the child fell through an unsecured plastic cover over a grease trap behind a Tim Hortons on Monday. State Assembly members Harry Bronson and Jamie Romeo have drafted legislation requiring locked metal covers, warning signs, and annual inspections for grease traps. From the WBEN Newsroom, I'm Tom Puckett.
We are where you are. News Radio 930 AM WBEN. Always where you are. On the air. On your radio. 24/7 and 930 AM. Streaming live online at WBEN.com. The latest news, weather, and information on demand at WBEN.com. At home. At work. On your computer. On your phone. Plus, follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We are where you are. News Radio 930 AM WBEN, WBEN.com.
Welcome back to our house. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the all-new HuntRealEstate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and homeownership experience. Among those experiences you can have at HuntRealEstate.com is a determination of the value of your property or any property, not just through one algorithm like one of the other very popular websites out there, but we actually three. And we actually include that other algorithm in our website so that you don't have to go there. You can stop right at huntrealestate.com, and not only will you be able to determine the value based on these algorithms of your home or any home, you'll also find a complete inventory of homes available here in Buffalo, Niagara, all across upstate, and even out to Phoenix, Arizona, and through a link to Boston, Massachusetts as well. And you'll also find access to a number of other services that are very valuable in the whole process of buying and selling a home, including the one represented by one of my guests on the show today, live remote, Linda Malaya, president of Hunt Mortgage, who is also a sponsor of this show. And if you'd like to explore any of the exclusive programs we have through Hunt Mortgage, I encourage you to call them today, 633-3700. Ask about our Buy the Before and Live the After program. It allows you to roll the costs of home improvements into your home purchase, into the mortgage, which gives you a known in a largely unknown world when you buy an older home, which is something that I think many people, after the fact, as Todd Eichinger, my guest, who's one of our leading sales professionals, also remote, has said, you know, there's always a surprise in there when you buy a home, even a new home, or there's always something that happens. It's good to know as much as you can up front, and that program allows you to do that. And also ask about our pre-purchase commitment that really gives you the opportunity to enter the market effectively to buy your next home with cash. And if you'd like to call us just about any topic, call 633-9400. That's our customer service center, and we'll be able to either answer your call directly there or direct you to the appropriate professional for whatever it is you may need, whether you're considering buying or selling a home, financing home, insuring a home, or even fixing up the one you have. And remember, our guarantee does stand. We will sell your home, or ERA will buy it. That's the seller security plan, available only through Hunt Real Estate ERA sales professional. Stop in to see them this weekend in our open houses. So we are having an interesting show from a standpoint of how we're constructing it technologically. I've got two guests live remote, Linda Malaya, president of Hunt Mortgage, and Todd Eichinger, one of the leading sales professionals in Western New York. And we've been talking about the conditions in the market today. And we have Linda is live. And Linda, I cut you off when before the break there, and I wanted you to continue that thought.
Yeah. I was whining, really, so it probably is best that you did cut me off.
Well, anyway, the bottom line is that I think what you were suggesting was that the real problem is when you have your existing home, which could feel like, in many cases, you know, a comfortable pair of shoes, that's hard to leave that comfortable pair of shoes, even if they're, you know, getting a little worn out or something. It's hard to leave those comfortable shoes to go buy a brand new pair of shoes because you're always shocked by the price of the new shoes.
Exactly.
And then you say, they got to break them in when I've got these pair that are comfortable, blah, blah, blah. Is that kind of the way you look at your, I'm asking you personally, but do you see people looking at their house? And Todd, you can chime in on this too.
I do. I mean, I have, obviously my friends are all in my age group, and that's the most common comment that I hear. Is probably should move, don't know where to go. So sometimes I'm able to find them, the right agent to find them the right place in the right time, but too many of us stay in our inappropriate homes.
Linda, let's look at what Todd was mentioning earlier about the fact that some people will look to rent. I'll ask you to deal with this yourself. Is there a part of our community where you would look to move from where you've been in the same town for a long time, as you indicated, 30 years. But is there some place that another town or another place that where the thought of renting might be attractive to you, or is it just too antithetical a concept for you?
Well, bear in mind, Peter, that I have a grave plot in this town. So I'm staying.
Well, they'll bring you back, I think.
I will be in Lancaster, New York for eternity. I don't think there's a for sale sign that could go on that piece of real estate that I own.
Maybe.
So there isn't very much housing, good rental housing. And it helped my parents when they were alive trying to find senior apartments because my father was just, I just don't want the responsibility of owning. He went into a senior apartment for about 2 years, and then he looked at me and he said, this is ridiculous to spend this much money, and ended up in a small condo. So, yeah, and, you know, I think finding the right apartment, and from what I see, when customers come in and we're taking their application, we ask them, what's your current housing expense, what are you paying in rent, I have to say my eyeballs pop out. Very often they're ho-hum about it. But we have many customers who are getting into homes for maybe $100, $150 to $200 more than they're paying in rent.
Wow.
Yeah. So the market is balanced in that sense, I think.
The other, Todd, one of the things that I hear often is that there's very few condominiums available, mainly in the city of Buffalo itself. How do you see the condominium market to what Linda was just mentioning in terms of the desirability of a condominium and frankly the cost versus a single family home and as an option for someone who's been in a single family home for a long time?
I think we're low in Western New York on inventory and availability on those. My mom's living in Florida now. My dad passed. She's thinking about up here, so I've kind of been keeping an eye out. And I live in the Elma East Aurora area, and there's just not a lot if we wanted to have her move close to us. So that's one thing I would love to see more of in Western New York. And honestly, I think it would be something that the younger generation would grab hold of, too, because they want to be outdoors. They don't want to be cutting grass. They want to be kayaking, biking, and they're getting into that niche too, which makes it harder for the folks who want to sell a home and move into smaller with less responsibilities. You know, they're taking away from them too. I think it would be a great thing to see.
Linda Malaya, the issue of financing condominiums has from time to time become a question. For example, during the last recession and then coming out of that recession, condominiums were very difficult to finance, as you recall, I think. And also, particularly in communities like where we do business in Phoenix, you could not finance any condominium. You had to buy cash, which depressed the market immensely. Is there anywhere where that's still the case, or are condos just as easy to finance as a single-family residence?
Well, They are not and have never been as easy to finance as a single-family residence. Unless you've got 30% down, then it's fairly transparent to you that it's not as easy. You may not even realize you're being limited. But the FHA program and the VA program, which are two of the lower down payment mortgage options that most that best suit low to moderate income people, particularly, they will not finance most condominiums. FHA has a list, and the list is very limited. I don't know. I guess I've always meant to ask somebody who's president of an HOA, like why they don't go through that process to get their condominium approved. I imagine there's a cost, but I would think it would pop up the value of your. So if I'm the owner of a condominium, I'd be all for it.
Mm-hmm. That's a very, very interesting issue because, as particularly as demand, as Todd Eichinger has pointed out, demand for condominiums I think will grow, continue to grow, for all the reasons and others that Todd has already mentioned. It would seem to me to make a lot of sense. Do you know anything about the process? Does the HOA have to apply to FHA directly to have the project approved, so to speak?
Yes, and I know we helped one project here locally get approved. It's been many years, and I wasn't terribly involved in it. I don't know. I'll have to look into that.
That's interesting. As I was mentioning earlier, coming through the recession and coming out of the recession in 2010, 11, and even in 2012, there were whole condominiums that you couldn't finance even conventionally. And one of the criteria was the number of rentals, percentage of owner-occupants or non-owner-occupants within that condominium project. Do you see that at all, Linda? I mean, is that a question on the application, the percentage of rentals in the project?
I was 30%. If you're over 30%, it is you cannot finance them. The other issue that most frequently comes up in stymieing us from financing a condominium is there is also a question, and this question is often asked regardless of the down payment, are there any outstanding lawsuits? And many condominiums have slip and fall lawsuits against them. And so, you know, because somebody slipped, fell, and is going to get $500, you know, it holds up the financing. It's quite annoying for all.
Wow.
But that's another problem.
You know, it's interesting, and going out to the Phoenix market for just a minute, the number of investors that are blanketing the condominium projects in that community seeking to buy any condominium. Now, what I'm hearing you say, Linda, that if enough of those investors are successful, that condominium will that whole any unit in that condominium will become unfinanceable. Would that be safe to say? I mean, if you got past 30%, as you say?
Absolutely.
That's a good reason not to sell your condominium to an investor then, isn't it?
Well, you know, the other thing I would suggest if you own a condominium is get with your homeowners association and make sure that you have a sophisticated homeowners board. Very often you have, you know, the condo police who are, I have a friend who owns a condo in another state and she has a small dog and somebody from the HOA followed her wanting to weigh the dog because the rule was
2 pounds.
I mean, that's what you're worried about?
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're worried about. You need a board that's worried about your concentration of investors, whether you have the appropriate amount of reserves, because that's another thing that mm-hmm. Freddie and HUD look at, that your budget is sound and that you don't have a more than 30% concentration of investors. I mean, if I own a condominium, I really don't even want any investors. So a lot of the condominium complexes say no investors, no renters. In Florida, where snowbirds are so common, they often put limits on you can rent your condo, twice a year at 3-month increments. Some are 6 months, you know, that sort of a thing. And that, you know, that keeps the riffraff out, if you will. But I wouldn't want any investors. I would have an owner-occupied condo only.
It's a very interesting idea. And we're seeing more and more investor interest, not just in condominiums, but in single-family homes as well. We're going to come back and talk more about that after these very important messages from our house to yours. Welcome back to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and this show is brought to you by the all-new HuntRealEstate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and homeownership experience. Go there today, HuntRealEstate.com. Brand new architecture, brand new design, brand new infrastructure, functions better than ever, and I encourage you to go there today. And also, this show is brought to you by Hunt Mortgage, home of the pre-purchase commitment. I encourage you to check that out today, 633-3700, and make your next deal in real estate effectively with cash, which bumps you up in the priority level. And Todd Eichinger, you have a lot of experience in this world where we've got multiple offers. How often do you see cash on a purchase offer these days in a competitive situation? Do I lose you, Todd?
Not as much as I used to, but I think it's probably, I shouldn't say it's a little less frequent right now, but I think it's because our older generation isn't necessarily selling their houses, so it's more of the younger first-time home buyers, and, you know, they're not flush with cash, so they're not coming to the table. They're, you know, our FHAs and sometimes conventional folks.
Do you advise your customers, Todd, when you know it's a competitive situation and you're representing a buyer, do you advise the customer to try to figure out a way to go cash if they possibly can?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if there's a way to do it, I would tell them to do it. I mean,
How valuable, Todd, is that pre-purchase commitment then? If you have that in hand when you're presenting your offer, do the sellers and the agents on the other side of the transaction, the listing agent, do they get it? Do they understand that pre-purchase commitment effectively is the same as cash?
Well, there's a tricky answer there. This is why I try to present all of my offers, because then I know it's crystal clear and presented properly. This way, everybody's educated, because I want all people in any transaction I have a hand in to be as educated as they can, so everybody makes the best, clearest decisions, and there's less problems. So I do like the pre-commitment, and I do explain it's everything but the appraisal. So you're as good as cash. So this way they know everybody's been fully vetted and life is good.
You know, you bring up a very, very interesting point there in your answer, Todd, and that is the issue of the presentation of the offer itself. You and I know, and Linda, you know this as well, how the industry has changed and the art of presenting that offer has been almost thrown out the window. In other words, we're digitally transmitting an offer from buyer's agent to seller's agent, and the seller's agent then goes to the seller and presents whatever they have. But it's in many cases, and this is perhaps the majority of cases, the buyer's agent is sitting there waiting by their phone or waiting for a text or something, allowing the seller's agent to effectively handle the whole thing. How often does that happen, Todd, and how often are you able, by insisting to present the offer on behalf of your buyer, how often does that happen? How often do the listing agents say, don't bother, I'll handle it myself, get out of my way, kind of thing?
It really breaks down to the agent. A lot of us, you know, we have to play well together and be nice. There are a couple who don't want to do it. I try to push it even further, because somebody hires me to do the job, I should do the job. And I just don't know why an agent wouldn't want to do it. I've actually gone to a multiple offer situation where, A, I was the only one on time. Even the listing agent wasn't on time. B, the more interesting thing is I had the second best offer. The people liked me more. They were more filled in on exactly the little minutia on our offer. and if I remember correctly, I was $10,000 less, and they took my offer over the top offer.
You know, Todd, you illustrate the strength of the position that the industry really needs to take if it's going to defend itself against what is happening right now, which is class action lawsuits against the industry, because the buyer representation issue and the value of that representation and the effect of the overall cost of the commission itself. And I think what you're saying is perhaps an extremely important thing for anybody listening to this show or anybody interested in buying or selling should know. And that's really the position of a real estate professional in a transaction and really what they do for you. And you just illustrated, Todd, the importance of the quality of the presentation of the entire position of that buyer vis-a-vis any other competing offers or perhaps even in a singular offer situation, just to give the seller the peace of mind knowing that this transaction is going to happen the way we hope it will. And Linda Malaya, to the point of the creation of the pre-purchase commitment, take us back to that and why that was such an important event, really, in the history of the company.
Well, I, as you know, spend a great deal of time with agents, and their pain point was, at the time, losing offers to cash. Higher than cash. And we sat around talking about why would somebody take an offer for $10,000 less because it's cash. The fear is the mortgage. The fear is that it won't go through. And so I said, well, what if we gave you a mortgage commitment, a fully underwritten mortgage commitment? And the agents were all very enthusiastic about it. With the pre-purchase commitment, Peter, is really what you said, and that is the average consumer who enters the market once every 7 to 10 years doesn't understand the difference. They say, well, you know what, the other company gave me a pre-approval. Well, that's good. That was probably a very skilled mortgage originator, loan officer, looking at it and saying it's good. But a mortgage isn't approved until an underwriter, somebody who is authorized to bind a company to lend, looks at it. And that's what we do. We have our underwriters. This is not an inexpensive program for us to offer. Underwriters are the highest paid food chain, which is why most companies do not want to make this investment. But it is, we think, a real winning difference. I mean, I had an agent from another company was walking down the street, and she slammed on the brakes in the middle of the road, and I'm like, rut-row. Roll down the window, and she said, I love that pre-purchase commitment thing. Well, she didn't even know what it was. I love that thing. Great. Your service is great. Keep it up. And drove off, and I was like, thank you. It was great.
Well, you know, this brings up the other side of that equation, and I know, Todd, you make use of this as well, and that's really the consultative process with the customer and the importance of, I mean, let's face it, a lot of us have had, there may have been an issue in, you know, our financial history somewhere along the line, and we are kind of scared to expose ourselves in one way, shape, or form, and so we avoid the process, or we go through the process of buying a home and going under contract and then worrying about it. The consultative process, and I know you've been very careful in selecting that title for our people that represent buyers in the marketplace from the mortgage company's perspective, and that is the mortgage consultant title. How did that evolve, and why did you go that route?
No, because it's exactly what it is. There are so many moving parts to a mortgage, and it is really so complicated. I teach a class for new people getting their license, and even my eyes bugged out when I realized how much material there is to know and cover. And it is a consultative process. There's different choices. There are things that will save you money, but cost you higher in a monthly payment. You have to make those decisions. Are you going to be there very long? You really don't want to do this on your own on a computer. You can, but you're not going to save anything. The largest company that has an online presence with celebrity spokespeople might rhyme with licking. their costs are staggering. Mm-hmm. They'll shoot you a great rate, but it's usually with points, percentage of the loan amount that you're paying at closing, or you don't get that rate at the end. I mean, they're a good company. I don't mean to disparage them, but they're not a cheap company. And why would you do that when you can have a consultant save you money locally that actually knows how to pronounce Cheektowaga if that's where you're buying? I don't understand it, but.
Well, there's the allure of, you know, their promise of low rates and low closing costs, et cetera, but there's always a trade-off. And one of the things that you and I have talked about often on air is the effect of the national mortgage market, and that there is money is a commodity in effect, and the ability to lower the cost of a mortgage really depends upon the cost of the organization that's issuing that mortgage. There's no question in my mind that if I were to run, or we were to run national ads as often as, you know, some of these companies do, for these mortgage companies, that would have to be reflected in our cost structure, which would have to be reflected in the fees we charge. Wouldn't you agree?
Without a doubt. As I always joke with the agents now, I say, you know, they have national advertising. They're also paying for a celebrity spokesperson. I work a lot cheaper than a celebrity spokesperson.
Yeah, we both do.
The rates are lower. That's why our costs are lower. No question.
We've got a couple minutes left here. Todd Eichinger, you're on your way to one of the most beautiful places in the world, the Thousand Islands. I hope you'll enjoy your time up there. It's, in my mind, one of the most beautiful places, obviously second to Buffalo, New York. But what makes you choose the Thousand Islands, just out of curiosity?
My sister-in-law's family has a cabin there, so we've made it an annual thing where the four brothers and nephews and nieces and mom and everybody come in and get together now.
Well, that's a great thing. Enjoy yourself. I try to get up there every year myself. It's a beautiful part of our world, and we actually do business up there now, which is kind of fun. Linda Malaya, I want to thank you very much for breaking out of your morning routine to join us on the show today and sharing your insights. Anything in the last minute or so that you'd like to share with our listeners about the current state of the market and what you might suggest to them?
Nope. Call us 633-3700 if you're interested in purchasing or refinancing. Interest rates are very low right now. It doesn't cost anything to talk to us, and we are starting to see refinances pick up, particularly among VA loans.
Well, thank you for being with us. And Todd Eichinger, how could our listeners reach you, and what last thoughts would you leave them with about the market today?
Oh, 912-8684 is the number, and for sale by owners, we could do another show on it, but 30 seconds, I can't believe how many people have tried it this year for 2 to 3 weeks and then come running back to me, and thankfully they do, and we've been hitting success and making very happy people and having them say, I don't know why I did that. So.
Well, you know, that's a very interesting topic, and I do want to have you back on to talk about that, because the allure of selling your house on your own, obviously, is to quote, save the commission. But in my mind, there's only one thing that's really important. Are you getting market value for your home? And that can only be by exposing your home to the entire market through a sales professional like you, Todd. So thank you very much for joining us on the show today, Todd. Eichinger, remote on your way to a vacation. And Linda Malaya, thank you very much for joining us from remote as well. I appreciate you both your time, and I want to thank all our listeners for being with us this week. We'll be back next week at the same time. And remember, when it comes to real estate, all of upstate New York is Hunt Country.